6 in the Word of God. Verses 6 and 7, of course, are those verses that are often read in choral services, and rightly so. And we want to spend the time today in the name, singular, that the prophet gives to Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9 and the verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I want us to consider today the name above all others. With God's word open before us, let's just have a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we pray that as we come now to the scriptures of truth, we ask, O God, that truth might reign in our hearts. Lord, that thy word will live in our hearts. Lord, we pray that you'll take the words of God today, take thine own words. We pray, Lord, that you'll apply them to all of our hearts. Lord, for each one that's saved, we pray, Lord, that today thy word will come with sweetness, and with freshness and power. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who still are out of Christ and do not know the Christ of Christmas. We pray, Lord, that thy word will come with saving power today. We ask, O God, that as we see thee high and lifted up, Lord, that you would draw men and women, young people, older people to thyself. Lord, come and glorify thine own name. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Over the past few weeks, in our Sunday services, but perhaps more especially in our prayer meetings when we were dealing with that opening chapter in the Gospel of John, we were seeking to concentrate our minds at this Christmas season on the one who is central and pivotal to the whole story of Christmas. It has been my intention and my desire to get our minds away from all the other characters of the Christmas story, important though they be, and the role that they have is important. But to get our minds past the hills of Judea where the shepherds were, to get our minds away from the starry skies out of which the angels sang their praises, and to get our minds away from the manger scene, and to focus our minds on the one who is central in the whole story of Christmas. That, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is that phrase that is often used at this time of the year, how about we need to put Christ back into Christmas? And that is so important because just a cursory glance at all the goings on over this past number of weeks and yes, even months, Christ is certainly not in Christmas today. In many people's minds, even today, on this Lord's Day, 2 days before Christmas Day, there will be people out purchasing and shopping, enjoying themselves with no thought of Christ. No thought of the Christ of Christmas. And so today, we want to center our minds on that one again who is central to the whole theme of Christmas, the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we refer, of course, to the coming of Christ as an historical event. It's not just a lovely scene for a Christmas card. It's just not nice words to be able to say to people at this season of the year. We refer today to the incarnation of Christ, the coming of Christ, as an actual literal event in history. Christ actually literally left heaven and came into this world and was born. Not a figment of our imagination, not a fairy tale, but a reality. So we speak today of a time in history past. But Isaiah the prophet here is writing about a time before the coming of Christ. He's writing at a time before Christ came into this world. Before that actual event, before the Christ of history actually took place. And as he does so, you will notice that he doesn't major on the shepherds. He doesn't major on the wise men or the animals or on the parents. He majors rather on Christ. He majors on his nature and especially on his name. Isaiah is speaking here some 700 years before Christ ever came into this world. But even in that, we see the perfect unity and harmony of the Scriptures. How that all the writers of Scripture wrote in harmony. Isaiah was able to perfectly, accurately describe the coming of Christ and the names that would be given to Christ. And then all that is fulfilled in the gospel narratives that we have in the New Testament. It all shows us the accuracy of the Word of God. When we come to Isaiah chapter 9, if we had taken time to read some of the verses in the previous chapter, you'll see how that chapter 9 stands in very stark contrast to chapter 8. Just turn your eyes there to the end of chapter 8. In the verse 22. Isaiah chapter 8 and the verse 22, "And they shall look unto the earth, and behold, trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness." Really, this is summing up the whole situation. It was a time of desperation. It was a time of darkness. It was a time of despair. It was a time of hopelessness and chaos. Yet chapter 9 starts with that word, nevertheless. Nevertheless. Praise God for the neverthelesses of Scripture. That in spite of the darkness and in spite of the dimness and in spite of the anguish that there was, nevertheless. And thank God today that in spite of all the darkness that is rampant in our society and in our nation, and despite of all the confusion and all the hopelessness and all the chaos that is rampant today, nevertheless there is hope. And Isaiah comes to that hope today. Perhaps today you are in this meeting and you have no hope. Life's difficult and life is hard. Well, thank God, nevertheless, in spite of the hopelessness, there is hope today, and it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in chapter 9, Isaiah brings us to the one who is the embodiment of that hope. He brings us to the one who is the full display of that hope. He promises light in verse number 2 of Isaiah chapter 9. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. In verse number 4, he promises liberty. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor as in the day of Midian. And in verse number 5, he talks about victory. For every battle of the warrior is confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. There's light, there's liberty, there's victory. And then he goes on to tell us where all that's found. Verse 6 and 7. Found alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinner, today, where will you find light for your darkened soul? It's found in Christ. Where will you find hope today? It's found in Christ. Where will you find liberty today from the chains that bind you to your sin? It's found in Christ. Where will you find victory today? You'll find it alone in Jesus Christ. And so Isaiah brings before us the one who is the fulfillment of all hope. The one who would come and bring hope to a darkened world. The one who was spoken of in a few chapters back in chapter 7 and verse 14. God with us, Emmanuel. In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God today. Praise God today that in this society that is wrecked, ruined, and ravaged with sin, there is hope. There's hope in Christ. He comes to verse number 6. He says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Notice the language there before we move on. He's speaking in the in the present tense, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Even though he's speaking some 700 years before Christ is actually born, literally born, yet he is speaking as if Christ has already been born, that hope has already come. Why is that important? Why is that significant? It's significant because of this. Because from the dawning of time to the consummation of time, Christ has always been the only hope. Christ has only always been the only way to God. From the time man fell in the garden to the time the Lord returns, there's only been one way to God. And that has been through the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has always been the light of the world. Christ has always been the one who will set the sinner free from their sin. Christ has always been the only Redeemer. Christ has always been the one who would set sinners free. You see, Christ did not come into this world to be a different light. Christ did not come into this world to be another light. Christ did not come into this world to be another means of salvation. Christ was and is and always will be the only way to God, for unto us a child is born. He's only ever been the way to God. He has only ever been the way that sinners can know peace with God. And then he goes on to describe the one who would be born by naming him. And that's where we want to center our thoughts upon. The second half of verse number 6. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Five names given to the Messiah. Five blessed names given to the one who is the hope of this world. Five names given to the one who is the light of this world. Five in Scripture always refers to grace. Here, as we said even last week, here's the grace of God on display. You see it in the person of Jesus Christ. This fivefold name, this five-barrel name, gives us perfect and full teaching on the perfect person of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So let's look at this name. Let's look at what Isaiah says and what Isaiah is talking about here. I want you to see, first of all, that that name is a transcendent name. It is a transcendent name. His name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful. Here's the first of the five names given to Christ, the Messiah, in this verse. Wonderful. Now, you will know that wonderful is often used to describe a person. Wonderful is often used to describe a place. You'll talk about so-and-so, and they're wonderful. Or you've been to a certain place and it's wonderful. You're actually describing the place. That's not how it's used here in Isaiah 9 and 6. Wonderful is not used here as an adjective to actually describe the noun, the person, or the place. It is used here as an actual noun, as an actual person. Christ is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Oh yes, it would be true that he is the wonderful Savior, absolutely. But even more than that, he of himself is wonderful. And that shows to us that He is transcendent above all others. He is above all. He's greater than all. That there is no one to compare to Christ. Notice some ways in which He is wonderful. Notice how verse 6 opens. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. In those few words there, we see that there has never been anyone like Christ. Here the prophet is majoring on that glorious theme that I come back to again and again, that theme of the dual nature of Jesus Christ. His humanity, His deity, as the God-man, a child is born. That's His humanity. Bethlehem saw the beginning of that human nature. And then we see as well in verse number 6, unto us a son is given. That's His deity. Very important there that we notice the terms. He didn't say a son is born. Isaiah didn't say that unto us a child is born and unto us a son is born. Notice the exactness of Scripture here. He says a son is given. In other words, he's pointing to one who has already existed, is given. That points to us, to the eternal sonship of Jesus Christ. On Thursday night past, in our prayer meeting, we were majoring on that the word begotten, the only begotten Son of God, that John uses a lot. It's a wonderful term. Sadly, as we said on Thursday night, it's a term that is often left out of many of the modern translations. And you will often read John 3:16 as the only and one and only Son of God. But that's not what Scripture is talking about. That's not what Scripture is teaching. If you were here on Thursday night, bear with me for a second as we go over this again, because it is vital. The only begotten. Begotten, it comes from an original word called monogenes. Mono means one, genes, generation, one generation. The same generation as the Father. Now by natural relationships, the Father and the Son are different generations. The Father is one generation, the Son is a different generation. But when it comes to the Son of God, He's the one generation, the same generation. And that brings to us the transcendent nature of Christ. Shows to us His deity. The Son who already existed as God is then given. You see, in the strictest and the most accurate of terms, the Son of God was not born. The Son of God was given. As a child, yes, He was born, but as a son, as a member of the Godhead, He already existed. And I keep hammering home this point because it is so vital, because there will be people come to your door and there will be people that you will talk to and they will deny that Christ is God. And you deny that Christ is God, then you have no salvation. If Christ is not God, then we have no hope. Dear believer, today if all we have to depend upon is the virtues and the values of a mortal man, then we have no hope. Thank God today Christ is God, and because He is God and man, we do have hope. This was the teaching of Isaiah as he brought us to the incarnation of Jesus Christ. The gift was the Son of Man, yet He who was the Son of God, the God-man in two distinct natures. That little phrase there is given in verse number 6. It means to literally to deliver up. to deliver up. Christ was given, as the Son of God was given, to be our Redeemer. He was given to this earth. He was given to His people. He was given to die on the cross. Delivered up. Oh, what a great truth. The dual personality of the God-man is. How wonderful to think of who our Savior is. I wonder this Christmas season, did we stop? Did we consider the Christ who came? Did we? You see, I fear that sometimes we as the people of God, can we be a wee bit like the children of Israel? How God sent them that manna from heaven. That manna that was to bless them, that manna that was to enrich them, that manna that was to encourage them. But you know what? They got bored with the manna. We read that they say that their soul was dried away and there's nothing. And they only say this beside the manna that we have every day. They got bored with the manna from heaven. They got bored with what God gave. Is it the case that as the children of God, we've got bored with the Son of God? Is it the case that we have got bored with the thought of who Christ is? It doesn't encourage us anymore. It doesn't enthuse us anymore. And we've got bored with Christ. You say, that's not possible, is it not? Is it not? And we get all wrapped up in other things and alternatives and substitutes to Christ. And we want everything else but Christ. Because we've got bored. Warren Wiersbe said that most people are living on substitutes and don't know it. Stupid, vulgar comedy has replaced true wit and humor. Propaganda has replaced truth, he says. When you exist on artificial stimulants, you'll gradually use the ability to recognize and enjoy the real. The Church of Jesus Christ today is existing on substitutes. And it's sad. And they want everything today but the preaching of Christ. They want to be entertained. They don't want to be edified. They're living substitutes because we have failed to see the wonder of Christ. We fail to contemplate that unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. Did we stop and wonder at the amazement of Christ and who He is? He was wonderful in His virgin birth. All others were born of the seed of man. He was born of the seed of the woman. Although all others were born of natural generation, He was born of supernatural generation, eternal generation. All others were born with Adam's sin flowing in our bloodstream. He was born without sin. What a wonder. The wise men, as we saw last week, they wondered at the birth of Christ and they came to worship. The shepherds wondered at the birth of Christ, and what did they do? They went to find Christ, and then they went to tell others of Christ. They wanted to tell others that they had found the one who came to be their Savior. They wondered, and then they went and told. And it said of the very people that they went to tell, all that heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. Did we wonder enough at the birth of Christ this week to tell someone of the one who came? Did we stand in awe and amazement today that Christ should leave the splendor and the glory of heaven
and tell some poor sin-sick soul that crossed her path today of the one who came? Or have we lost the wonder of the incarnation? Have we lost the wonder of Christ? Have we been guilty of what we are accusing the world of doing, taking Christ out of Christmas? Wonder at his virgin birth, born without sin. The Bible teaches nothing about the Immaculate Conception of Mary, nothing. Christ's sinlessness did not depend upon Mary, not at all. Christ was not born without sin because Mary wasn't born without sin. That's utter rubbish and blasphemy. Mary was a sinner like all others born into this world. Well, the virgin birth of Christ, just as the deity of Christ, it's another doctrine that's under attack. But the only one who could redeem us from sin was the only one who wasn't under the condemnation of sin. That was Christ. The only one who could come and redeem us from the penalty of the sin was the one who wasn't under that penalty. There is no gospel, you see, apart from the virgin birth of Christ. He was born sinless, pure, perfect. He remained that. And to deny the virgin birth of Christ, to wonder at it, is to deny the eternal sonship of Jesus Christ. To deny it is to deny the purity of Jesus Christ. To deny it is to deny the only sacrifice for sin, that Lamb as one without spot and blemish. Oh, the wonder of his virgin birth. Did we wonder at that this week? That he is the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. There's the wonder as well of his vicarious death. Death in the place of the sinner. His life and his death are unique in every way. Because you see what happened? He took the ordinary and he turned it into the extraordinary. You see, all through his earthly life, leading up to his death, he did extraordinary things. People wondered at his words. We read, and all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Do you remember as Christ spoke in the temple? People were taken with what he had to say. What did the officers say of Christ? Never man spake like this man. They wondered at the words of Christ. When was the last time we took the Word of God, read it, and wondered at what we read? Take the Scriptures of truth and wonder that God should love me, that He gave His Son to be my Savior. Wonder concerning not only his words, but also his works. It leads us to the wonder of the cross. In his death, he conquered death. He died to destroy the power of death, the sting of death. Paul, writing to the Hebrew believers, he said, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." Why? That through death he might destroy him that had the power over death, that is the devil. You see, every death conquered its victim, but not Christ. No man took his life from him. He laid it down of himself, and he took it again. His death in dying for sinners was not the death of a conquered victim, but rather of a conquering victor.
Did you wonder at the death of Christ? You see him dying there on the cross, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place, condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Did you wonder at his death? He died for me. May I never lose the wonder of the cross. May I see it like the first time, standing as a sinner lost, undone by mercy and left speechless, watching wide-eyed at the cross. Oh, may I never lose the wonder of the cross. On this Lord's Day before Christmas, will you sit at the Lord's table today and wonder? Wonder that he should ever love me. That he sent a son to die on the cross for me. The greatest Christmas gift that was ever given wasn't placed under a tree, but was hung on a tree. And it was all for me. Sinner, today in this meeting, Christ loved you so much that he came into this world to die on a cross of shame for you. Oh, behold the wonder of the cradle, his virgin birth. Behold the wonder of his cross, his vicarious death. But behold the wonder of his crown, his victorious life. Christ lived. He died, but praise God, he lives again in that power of an endless life. He rose from the dead, never to die again. I know there were those in the gospel accounts who rose from the dead, but they all died again. Christ was the only one who rose from the dead and never died again. And today he lives that you might live eternally. He lives, he reigns, he rules right now in heaven. Christ lives, which hope we have is an anchor for the soul, sure and steadfast, which has entered within the veil. Christ reigns today. Did you wonder today? Did you lift your eyes to heaven today and say, Amen, thank you God for reigning and ruling for me? Christ entered heaven on the basis of his finished work, and there he lives. And all who come to God through him will live eternally. He has entered once into the holy place by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He reigns our victor today. Today he stands to be your Savior. But be assured. One day that same Jesus shall so come in like manner. Because he's coming again, not as our Savior, but he's coming to be judge. One day you'll stand before him. You'll give an account of how you've lived your life, what you've done with Christ. But for every child of God today, praise God right now before the Father. He presents the merits, the value of his own finished work on the cross. And I just say again to those, and I know many, many struggle with the whole matter of assurance of salvation. We're not saved by what we have done or what we can do. We're all saved by Christ. But listen, we are also kept by that power that saved us. It's nothing to do with what we can do.
It's all done for us. We're held in the grip of the Master's hand. He presents us faultless before the throne on His behalf. And when He looks upon His redeemed people, He doesn't see our sin anymore. He sees His Son. Oh yes, we feel Him. We lament our failures. We lament the sin in our lives. But thank God for every redeemed child of God, we're held in the grip of the Savior's hand. Thank God today ours is a wonderful Savior. Thou shalt call His name Wonderful. Let me ask you, is He wonderful to you? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Oh, you see, religion without Christ, it's nothing. Sin has nothing wonderful about it. But Christ is wonderful today. If you don't know Him today, come to my Savior. He's a wonderful Savior, but more than that, He is wonderful. Now, don't panic. I said there's five names, and I've only covered one. We're going to come to the rest later on tonight, and I won't be as long. But as we close this morning, may we never lose the wonder of who Christ is. May we never lose the wonder of His virgin birth. He came, the sinless Son of God. May we never lose the wonder of His vicarious death. He died for me. May we never lose the wonder of His victorious life. He rules and reigns for me. He is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. It's a name that is transcendent above all other names. The old Christmas carol song says it's the most wonderful time of the year. It is. It is. Because of the wonderful person of Christ. May He be wonderful to you today. May we fall afresh in love with Him today. May we see Him like never before. And as we spend time with family and friends over this Christmas season, may we not lose the wonder of the coming of Christ. The Father gave the Son to be the Savior of the world. What a wonder. What amazement. His name shall be called Wonderful. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee, Lord, for the unity and the harmony of the word of God. That the prophet of old could speak so many years before the coming, actual, literal coming of Christ into this world and called His name Wonderful. Oh God, we pray for every soul in this meeting today who are saved. We pray, Lord, that You would be wonderful to us. Oh God, we pray that today we might see Thee like never we have seen Thee before. Lord, we pray that we'll not be willing to just to put up with substitutes and alternatives. But oh God, we pray that today we might fall in love with the wonderful Savior who is Jesus our Lord. And we pray, Lord, today for those who are still out of Christ. We pray, Lord, they might see the wonder that God should ever love this world of sinners lost, that in the fullness of time He sent His Son to be our Savior. We pray, Lord, today that sinners, their eyes will be opened, Lord, their dark hearts will be lightened, and that today they might see the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ. May they come to Him in salvation. Bless Thy word today to our hearts.
We ask, O God, that you'll bless us throughout the rest of this day. We ask, O God, that as we sit around the table of the Lord for a moment or two just now, may we never lose the wonder of his death. Our Father, we pray you'll bless this afternoon in the care home. Bless as the word goes out there. Bless again in the gospel tonight. Lord, we pray that this Christmas season, we pray, Lord, today that we'll rededicate our lives to love thee and to serve thee more. Bless, we pray, speak on. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Hymn number 67, please, as we conclude this morning. Hymn number 67.